same. But everything changed. I remember the day when I was a kid. WRPQ
Baraboo. 279 EG Reedsburg.
We take you live to First United Church of Christ in Sauk City for the Sunday morning worship service.
Good morning, everybody. Grace, peace, and welcome to you all on this perfectly wonderful Sunday morning. A couple of announcements before we continue in our worship. Our liturgists today are Rose Kleinert and Emily Fuchs. The radio sponsor this morning is Tammy Hirth. In gratitude for Rose Kleinert, for all that she does for the church, which I would second, by the way. And one thing, other thing that's not in the bulletin. Dean, if we could have that one slide I gave you to show. We have a new banner that it comes out from the Open and Affirming Love Your Neighbor Committee. This banner was designed by Barb Sprecher, paid for by a generous donor, and then has been gifted to the church. I'm showing you this because we're going to carry this banner next Sunday, when some of us march in the Mount Horeb Frolic Parade, along with the Mount Horeb PFLAG group and the Mount Horeb United Methodist Church, and I think some folks from the Evangelical Lutheran Church, and the Girl Scouts coming up behind. We're doing this all under the banner of PFLAG, the organization in Mount Horeb that I'm a part of, that supports and advocates for LGBTQ people in Mount Horeb and around. We're going there to lend our support as First UCC in Sauk City, and anybody else who would like to walk a half a mile or so on what promises to be a warm, sunny Sunday, come join us. We need to be at the parade site by about 11:30, and we would love to have anybody who wants to walk with us come along and join in the fun. Rose has an announcement for us that we need to have.
Just another reminder that in 2 weeks we will be having a congregational meeting immediately following our 9 a.m. service. And that Sunday we will have service by Pastor Jennifer, I'm sorry, I can't pronounce her last name, Siege. So after that time, we will then have a discussion and vote. Thank you.
Thanks, Rose. Any other announcements out there that I wasn't aware of that we need to hear? Our welcome statement that we're borrowing, we're doing readings from sister churches around Wisconsin right now. This comes from First Congregational Church in Madison. A little different format from others that we have had. Let me read this for you. I want you to see just how other churches are doing what we're trying to do to express their welcome to as much of the world as they can reach. As a community of God's children, the members of First Congregational United Church of Christ acknowledge our shortcomings and strive to reach out to all who wish to affirm their faith with us and worship with us as members of this congregation. We acknowledge that the church is often judged and excluded from the community of faith, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender persons, or has been complicit by its silence. We confess the presence of ignorance, fear, and hatred in ourselves, in the church, and our society, and we ask the grace of God to overcome them. We invite and welcome all persons, without regard to sexual orientation or gender expression, to join us in our journey of life and faith, seeking to covenant to be responsible to God and to one another. In your bulletin this morning is a half sheet of paper that is titled Psalm 21, A Way into Silence. We're going to use this short liturgy to call us into a time of quiet. This will have, I will be reading the 23rd Psalm interspersed with this chorus that you will join in singing. Then he's going to play it through one time now, and then we'll sing it one time through, and I will begin reading the 23rd Psalm, and when I call for you to sing this, and when Denny plays, that's when you sing. Denny? Shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul.
Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life.
He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long.
Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life.
Take a deep breath. Beware of God's presence in you and around you. If you're able, would you please stand together as Rose leads us in her call to worship?
Please join me in our call to worship in the bulletin and on the screen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all of God's benefits.
Who forgives all our iniquity, who heals all our diseases.
Who redeems our lives from the pit, who crowns us with steadfast love and mercy.
God satisfies us with good as long as we live, so that our youth is renewed like the eagles.
In gratitude, let us worship God.
For those who are able, please remain standing while we sing our opening hymn, We Are Marching in the Light of God, in our New Century hymnal, number 526.
And a word on this before Denny begins playing. You get the tune on number 526. There are more words on the screen than we have in our hymnal. So you have to go back and forth between the two. Get you going in the morning. Would you join in, please, in our morning prayer? It's in the bulletin. It will be on the screen. Let us pray. Draw us nearer, blessed Lord, that we are often awed by the pleasures and overcome by the problems of this world. Today, we long to be close to you. Holy One, forgive our wandering hearts. Restore our hope and renew us in your love. Walk with us, please, not because we are worthy, but because you have promised. Amen. Here is the gospel for you this morning. There is no wrong you can confess for which you have not already and long ago been forgiven. This is the good news for us today. What can we say but thanks be to God?
In the Lord are we ever
invitation to the table this morning is one of our communion hymns, All Our Days. This is not in the hymnal, so the words will be on the screen. Bulletin this morning, I have the liturgy for the communion meal that you can read along. But when we come to the parts in the printout that is the bold italics, I'd like you to read that out loud along with me. There was that evening long ago, the evening before the day the world would end, the evening before the day when goodness, godness, would be put on trial, when goodness, generosity, kindness, love would be found wanting, would be found unwanted in the empires and temples of men. That evening, before the day the world would end, Jesus gathered his friends around a table to celebrate Exodus, deliverance, freedom, love. And so St. Paul would say some days later, "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" This bread, his body, will nourish us, will nourish this body gathered at the beginning of this new world. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." This cup, this blessing, forgiveness and grace, promise and hope, coursing through your veins at the beginning of this new world. These are still the gifts of God. You are still the people of God. Come to the table. Everything is made ready. that we have given for you. Would you pray with me, please? Holy One, we come into this space hungry and thirsty. You meet us here. You feed and nourish us. You promise to be with us. You grant to us the future. For all of this, we are grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. What do you think? I forgot. Is this your book or is this my book?
My grandma's book.
And did you want me to read it? Well, you can't say no to that. This is going to become a classic around here. The Invisible String. But of course, you won't know what the other story was supposed to be for today. Oh, well. Liza and Jeremy, the twins, were asleep one calm and quiet night. Suddenly, it began to rain very hard, thundered, rumbled, and it got so loud that it woke them up. "Mommy, Mommy," they cried as they ran to her. "Don't worry, you two. It's just the storm making all that noise. Go back to bed." "We want to stay close to you," said Jeremy. "We're scared," Mom said. "You know, we're always together, no matter what." "But how can we be together when you're out here and we're in bed?" said Liza. Mom held up something right in front of them and said, "This is how." Rubbing their sleepy eyes, the twins came closer to see what Mom was holding. "I was about your age when my mommy first told me about
the invisible string."
How many times have you read this? More than once. "I don't see a string," said Jeremy. "You don't need to see the invisible string. People who love each other are always connected. A very special string made of love." "But if you can't see it, how do you know it's there?" asked Liza. Even though you can't see it with your eyes, you can feel it with your heart. And you know that you are always connected to everyone you love. When you're at school and you miss me, your love travels all the way along the string until I feel it tug on my heart. And when you tug right back, we feel it in our hearts, said Jeremy. Does Jasper the cat have an invisible string? Liza asked. She sure does, said Mom. And best friends like me and Lucy, asked Liza. Best friends too. How far can the string reach? Anywhere and everywhere, Mom said. Would it reach me even if I were a submarine captain deep in the ocean, asked Jeremy. Yes, Mom said, even there. Or a mountain climber, even there. Or a dancer in France, or a dancer in Francer, and a donder in Blitzen, even there. A jungle explorer, even there. Then Jeremy quietly asked, can my string reach all the way to Uncle Brian in heaven? Yes, even there. Does the string go away when you're mad at us? Never, said Mom. Love is stronger than anger. And as long as love is in your heart, the string will and always be there. Even when you get older and can't agree about things like what movie to see, or what game to play in the back seat, or what time to go to bed. Oh, that's right. You should be in bed. Not you, them. And with that, they all laughed as Mom chased the twins back to their beds. Within a few minutes, they were asleep, even though the storm was still making the same loud noises outside. As they slept, they started dreaming of all the invisible strings they have, and all the strings their friends have, and their friends have, until everyone in the world was connected by invisible strings. And from deep inside, they now could clearly see no one is ever alone. Thank you so much for sharing this. I really appreciate that. Let's pray together. God of unimaginable love, of such constant, far-reaching, eternal love, we are grateful that you hold us in your arms and we hold each other in our arms and we are tied together by a string that will never, ever be broken. Thank you. Amen. I won't keep this. I'll give it back to you. Thanks. Our invitation to the offering this morning is one of the most important promises in Scripture, delivered to Abraham when he was being called to follow in the way of God. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you so that you will be a blessing. We will receive our morning offering at this time. Thank you. would you join me in our gratitude prayer? We are grateful, Holy God, for the abundance of the earth and the generosity of your grace. Form us as a grace-directed people who reflect your love for the creation and express your love for our neighbors. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, please. Emily, are you reading our first scripture?
The first scripture this morning is from Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability.
Our second scripture this morning is a lovely poem from the prophet Isaiah from the Hebrew Bible, Isaiah 43, 1 through 7 and 18 to 21. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you, I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear. For I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Do not remember the former things, or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. This ends our readings for this Sunday morning. God is speaking to us through these words. When God speaks, the words are always true. We can always trust them. Would you pray with me, please? May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. 2 years ago this morning, on the first Sunday of June in 2022, which also was Pentecost Sunday that year, I stood behind this pulpit for the first time. A whole lot has happened in the last 2 years. And now you are just 2 weeks away from deciding whether you will step out with faith, hope, and love into a whole new adventure. And I have sensed, as I have talked with many of you this week, a lot of excitement and not a little anxiety and wondering about how all of this is going to work out. And that made me wonder if you remember the dream that I told you about 2 years ago this morning on my first Sunday. It went like this. I had this dream a few weeks ago, I said. It came a day or two after I had first been asked if I would consider serving as your interim pastor over the summer. In my dream, I was already here. It was my first Sunday in this pulpit. Well, not this one exactly, because I hadn't seen the sanctuary yet. But in my dream, I knew I was here in First Church. There were maybe six people in this big sanctuary. All of them seated in the back row. It's a long ways from here to the back row. So I said, as gently and affably as I could, "Sure would be nice if you folks came down closer to the front." Now remember, this was a dream. This did not happen. A very tall, very stern woman jumped to her feet, and with no gentleness or affability in her voice, she said, "I am not going to take this effete snobbery from you." And she stormed out. I didn't even know what effete snobbery was. But that's what she said. She walked out, and everybody else got up and walked out after her. I was left all alone in the sanctuary, so I walked out too. Only the hallway out of the sanctuary was shrinking. I had to crouch down to walk. Then I had to get on my hands and knees and crawl. I wanted out. There were no doors, no windows, no exits, no escape. I did not enjoy that dream. So I made the point 2 years ago that my dream was not at all about how friendly or unfriendly you are. It was rather all about my own anxiety. You folks have all proven to be much better than my dreams and my fears. But I did suggest that maybe all of you at that point in the life of your congregation were feeling plenty of anxiety on your own. You will remember, I'm sure, that on that first Sunday of June 2022, you were just a week into this interim time, this time between what had been but was no more and what was to come but wouldn't be here for quite a while. And I told you that this interim time was going to feel at times like you were traveling down a road that you thought you knew, but the landscape had all been changed. The old landmarks had been removed. You left your map at home, the GPS wasn't working, and the driver forgot to ask for directions. I suggested you might feel stuck between where you have been and where you are going. And I said, you probably won't like it a whole lot. I think I earned my prophet's credentials that day. Well, a lot has happened. A lot has changed over the past 2 years. In fact, a lot has changed in the past week. Now that your search committee has found a candidate who meets their high standards, now that she has figured out what most any reasonable pastor would discern as quickly as she did, that First Church is this might be a pretty good place to serve, lots has changed. All of that is good, but now your anxiety has a whole new superhighway to travel down. If you love this church, as most of you do, If you want to see this congregation not just survive, but thrive in the very uncertain future that lies ahead, you almost have to be wondering, anxiously perhaps, is this the right path to take? Is this the right person to lead us in the way of Jesus as we need to see it and follow it today? Are we going to be okay? Anxiety is no fun at all. You for sure know that. And being in a group where most everybody is anxious at the same time can be much worse. You will have decisions to make. And more than that, you will be entering into new relationships that will need to be honored and nurtured. I don't know how all of you react to this kind of uncertainty, but I know that I can be a bit short-tempered when I don't know what's coming. And I can be pretty snarky, saying things to people that I care about that I wouldn't say if I was feeling more secure, and then regretting the words as soon as they come out. People in anxious churches can hurt and be hurt in ways that would never happen in calmer times. You really got to be careful out there, folks. But that's why I am so grateful that you are coming to the edge of your new future in the season that we call Pentecost. Some 2,000 years ago, the brand new, just born church was standing at the edge of just such a future. It was Pentecost Sunday, but they didn't know that yet. These few followers of Jesus are gathered in an upstairs room in Jerusalem with locked doors and shuttered windows, waiting for something to happen. They are scared out of their wits. They are more hopeful than they deserve. They are anxious, confused, and excited all at the same time. They are waiting, as Jesus told them to wait, for what he called the promise of the Father. They had no idea what that would be, but when it came, it was unmistakable. They hear a sound like a violent wind. It fills the house, blowing open the windows. The place begins to shake. Small tongues of fire appear, and a tongue hangs over each head. Outside, Jews from all over the empire who are in Jerusalem for the Pentecost festival hear the rushing wind. They run into the street, wondering what in the world is happening. So what will this almost born church do with this gift, this blazing, mystifying gift? They could try to keep it to themselves, close the windows, bolt the shutters, and wait for the crowds to go home. They had seen what happened to Jesus, after all. They could be forgiven for wanting to play it safe. But they don't play it safe, do they? They step into a new future, and just like that, the infant church, this smattering of Jesus people, take their first breath and come alive. They speak out. They tell their story. They tell what they have seen and heard and felt as they walked around Palestine with Jesus. And that's when the real Pentecost miracle happens. The crowd hears, and they understand. They speak a dozen different languages, yet they understand. They understand, and they come alive. That's what the Spirit did for the uncertain infant church back then. And that's what she will do for you today. She will translate your telling of the story of Jesus into a story that can be heard by anybody within earshot. In other words, she will bring the story you tell to life, which is why there can't be a better day than Pentecost for a church to exit an interim time and to enter a new day. I am about to do a new thing, the Spirit is telling you today. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I will give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, to people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. I don't know what this new thing is that the Spirit of God has in store for you. That's for you, along with the person you call to stand in this pulpit to discern together. It will be up to you to sit and pray and wait together, because I'm about to do a new thing, God says. Even now, it is springing forth. Your mission, should you decide to accept it, is to step into the new stream that is set to come rushing into and out of this church, to step in with faith and hope and love, to open yourselves to the prompting of this divine spirit. Your future will not be like your past. I can guarantee that. But there's no reason why, if you work with this Pentecost spirit, this new future cannot also be richer, more life-giving than anything you have experienced in your 160-some years. What is ahead for you? I don't know. You'll figure it out. And I will be watching and rooting for you from a distance. But this, I do believe. Everything you need to be the church God wants you to be is already here. With fresh and strong leadership and with your heartfelt, faith-filled commitment to listen and to learn and to walk together in the way of Jesus, you will see this new thing that God is dreaming for you. You will see it come to life. In the midst of whatever lies ahead, you will feel more deeply than ever the promise that God is with you, and you will never be alone. You will take new delight in loving each other, in loving Sauk City as you love yourselves. You will experience anew the ancient promise given to Abraham and now given to you, that God will bless you and make you the blessing that our troubled world so desperately needs. You are, as your own spirit is open and your own soul is willing, perfectly adequate to receive this gift and to complete this task. You are the people God has chosen to be First United Church of Christ in Sauk City. If I sound a bit excited for you, well, I am. Amen. You're going to do the microphone, Rose? This is our time to join our voices in prayer, to put out what we are praying for, who we are praying for. Where has God been present in our lives this week? Denny.
Rose, I'll save you a trip. I have a microphone here. That's a danger. I'll try and make this a short story, but I think it has some significance. My oldest brother has three children. Dave has passed, and his three children all live in California. And his youngest son and his wife have two daughters. And their oldest daughter, Kayla, lives in Ohio with her wife. They are YouTube presenters, TikTok influencers. They've made a life for themselves in Ohio, which is kind of ironic because they're kind of in the middle of the Bible Belt. And they're not accepted by many people in Ohio. And they've been very successful. I'm very proud of them. And they've even taken a relative's child that the relative could not take care of, and they are raising that child as their own. And being that this is Pride Month, I received a message from Kayla just last night. Hey, I just wanted to say thanks for being you and loving and accepting us for who you, for who we are. It warms my heart and has brought me so much light into my life, knowing that I have family that accepts me for who I am, regardless of who I love, let alone even posts about the community. I thought I was pretty alone for a very long time before connecting with you and many others. And that kind of reminded me, this is Pride Month. I think we need to make it Pride Year. And as an open and affirming congregation, I think we need to continue to think about not only talking the talk, but walking the walk on a daily basis.
Thank you, Denny. Shirley, back here, or over here first, and then back here.
I'd just like to say a word of thanks to those who worked on the banner, who designed it and had it made and donated it to our church. It's really a beautiful thing.
Thank you, Shirley. Who is over here? Oh, Art.
I just ask for this church, God's grace, so that we can approach this new journey with open hearts and open minds, and that we can move on with apprehension, but also with gratitude to Brad for his part in this journey.
Thank you. Okay. Let's hold all of these in prayer together, and then we'll conclude with the prayer that Jesus taught us. Please pray with me. Holy One, we are grateful for and often in awe of the power of love, the power of acceptance, of holding people close and valuing them for what, who they are and how you have made them. We are grateful that you hold all of us as we are, as your children, accepting every part of us and always holding us close and loving us. We pray for this congregation, for its future that you have promised. We pray that we will trust and walk in the way that you will guide us. And loving God, hear us as we pray in greater gratitude the prayer that Jesus taught us when he said, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." The closing hymn this morning is not in the hymnal, but I think it'll be a familiar tune, "Just a Closer Walk." If you're able, would you please stand as we sing? Thank you.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in